Amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 11. It's a pretty famous passage in the Bible that even people who don't know the Bible very well might know this story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We're actually not going to talk about him raising Lazarus from the dead, and we won't make it to everyone's favorite verse in the Bible, which is Jesus wept, John 11:35. If you haven't memorized one verse in the Bible, there's a good place to start. John 11:35, Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible. We're not going to get to it today, but write it down, memorize it. But we're going to look at an encounter that Jesus has with Martha, a good friend of his, about Lazarus, who has died. And it's really a moment of sorrow and difficulty, and maybe you walked in today with some sorrow and difficulty. If you're a dad here today, you have plenty of sorrow and difficulty in your life because you got kids and stuff, so, and a job and all those things. But I'm thankful that you're here today, that you're leading your family well today by having them here at church. And so blessings upon you. But as we think about this and the struggle and the heartache just of life, Jesus steps kind of right into the middle of this and engages Martha in a way that we might not expect. And so look with me at John 11, verse 17. It says this, "Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off." So he came from Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." This is kind of a dramatic moment, a challenging moment, a difficult moment. Mary and Martha's brother had died. They had actually called for Jesus to come and try to help, and he purposely delayed in coming. And now the brother has died. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus decides that now I'm going to come and bring condolences to my friends. And so he takes the 2 mile trek along with a lot of other people. A good reminder to us that when our family and friends go through difficult situations, we need to walk 2 miles. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. We need to kind of go above and beyond in those moments to take the extra effort to step into the lives of those people who are hurting. And so as Jesus is making his way into Bethany, Martha comes out and meets him, and they have this conversation. And you can tell, even by the tone, that she's sorrowful. She's full of grief. Like, he's dead, and he died 4 days ago. And you're just now getting here. But Jesus doesn't avoid that conversation. He doesn't walk away from it. He doesn't redirect. He steps right into Martha's sorrow and draws near to her in that moment. It's a great picture of what Jesus does, not just for Martha in this moment, but for all of us. Jesus meets us in our suffering. He doesn't go the other direction. He doesn't sidestep it. He leans into our suffering. And I would invite you to exchange the word suffering for any other word that you might think of. Jesus meets us in our loneliness, in our brokenness, in our pain, in our anger, in our frustration, in our hopelessness. Jesus meets us in all of those places. It just so happens that in this moment, Martha is experiencing grief and loss and hurt and pain. But all of us experience that, even apart from the death of a loved one. And he meets us in the middle of that. And it also gives us encouragement that we don't need to hide those things from Jesus. We don't need to hide our pain and our anguish from him. We can bring it to him. We can bring our honest emotion to Jesus just like Martha did. Because sorrow and hurt come in a lot of forms, a lot of ways. And we often in our modern world, particularly our Western suburban world, we suppress it, we hide it, we push it down, we bottle it up, whatever phrase you want to use. And we come into church or to work or our social connections and they say, "How are you doing?" "Good, fine, great." And sometimes that's true. But sometimes it's not true. And we have a tendency to sort of just hold it down, and then one day we kind of explode. And usually it's at the wrong moment with the wrong people. And Jesus, in this encounter with Martha, is leaning into her frustration, her sorrow, but also into her faith. Because even though she's sad and sorrowful, even though perhaps she's disappointed that Jesus didn't come earlier, She makes an expression of faith even in her sorrow. "Lord, if you had been here." If you had been here. She believes that if Jesus would have been there, then the outcome would have been very different. That her faith and her sorrow somehow are coexisting, because in rabbinic tradition, that's the tradition of rabbis, right, Jewish leaders, in that tradition they believed that if someone had died, that their soul hovers over them for 3 days, that it was possible for them to be resurrected prior to 3 days. But poor Lazarus missed the window. Day four. Because his body is starting to decompose. And so in the ancient world, that's why people got buried quickly, because they didn't have a lot of ways to preserve the body. So they would bury them quickly before decomposition set in. And so there was this tradition, right, wrong, or indifferent, that there was somehow someone could be revived within 3 days. But now it's the fourth day, so all bets are off. But even Martha in that believes that God would give Jesus whatever he needed, whatever he asked. That there was such a unique connection between God the Father and God the Son that Jesus could ask whatever he wanted and he would be given it. And I don't even think that in this moment she believes that Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, or even that's on her mind. She just knows that God the Father and God the Son have such a special, unique relationship that whatever he asks, it will be given to him. And so she expresses her trust in that moment, her faith in that moment, even in the middle of sorrow. And so let me encourage you, church family, that you can express faith even in moments of heartache, even in moments of hurt, even in moments of pain. We can still express faith, because that's what Martha was doing. That even in her anguish, she still believed that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And she proclaims that at the end of the passage here, at the end of the conversation. And so as she expresses that faith, he reminds her of a great truth. Your brother will rise again. Now, at this moment, it's kind of a theological idea. You know how sometimes, like, you know things, but it's hard to believe it in the moment? Like, you know it to be true, but I'm having a tough time embracing it right now. Those are moments in life. Well, she's experiencing this moment, and Jesus says, "Hey, your brother's going to rise again." "Yeah, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate that. Like a big help right now. I know that. But that doesn't help me right now in the middle of my heartache and pain." But that's exactly, she missed what was going to happen. It wasn't just he'll rise again on the last day. He's going to rise again today. But she doesn't know that quite yet. She believes in Jesus. She believes in the sort of the theological truth that everyone who is in Christ will rise again. And she knows that not because she's seen the resurrection of Jesus, right? He hasn't even died yet. But she believes that because she believes her Bible, the Old Testament. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, says that many will rise, some to everlasting life and some to shame. She knows that those who are faithful, who have placed their faith in their Heavenly Father, that they will rise again. There will be that last day when they rise. And even we as followers of Christ, if you know Jesus as Savior, you too know that we will rise again. There will be a day when the dead in Christ shall rise, that we'll rise, that we'll live eternally with our Heavenly Father. There's a hope there, and she has that hope intellectually in the moment, and Jesus is trying to shift her mindset to not just some theological idea that, yep, I know this, but to actually understand and live it out. I think about one of our church members who I was talking with last week on Friday. We had a church member pass away, and we've had a few in the last several months, and she said, you know, I've been to a lot of funerals lately. That wasn't like a badge of honor. It was a moment of sorrow. But she said, you know, when you're my age, I guess that's what happens. I'm glad she said it because I wasn't going to. Because she was a senior adult who had seen a lot, been around this church a long time. But at the same time that she expressed that sorrow, she also had hope. And it was sure hope, not wishful thinking hope. It was assurance because the gentleman that had died, we know, was a wonderful man of faith, great follower of Christ. And so he too will rise again. And so we know that. And Jesus is going to shift her mindset from this sort of theological idea to a relational connection. And so often you and I have trouble because we like education and we like to learn things. And so we know it, but do we believe it? And Jesus is about to change her thinking from this grand theological idea that the dead will rise to, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He's going to shift it from an event to a person. Yes, you will rise again. There will be a resurrection on the last day. And even in his own life, there will be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. But those are events that we think about. So we celebrate Easter, the resurrection. But he's changing her mindset to say, the resurrection is not an event, it's a person. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not a theological concept. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. It's one of those I am statements that he makes. There's seven of them in the book of John, and this perhaps is the most dramatic. I am the resurrection and the life. Last week we talked about I am the door, I'm the good shepherd. He is God in the flesh who brings life, life abundant, life forever. And for us, not just for Lazarus and Martha, this is both a present reality and a future hope. It's both and. That I get to live a resurrected life today because my hope is in Jesus Christ. Because I've put my faith in a person, not an event. I've put my all of who I am, my belief in him and him alone. Because my hope is not merely getting to go to heaven. That's a wonderful aspiration. I get to go to heaven. I get to avoid hell. But no, I get to today experience the power of the resurrected life. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. It's about being united with Christ, not only looking to something in the future. It's about today and the future. And he is trying to help Martha understand that. That I am, not I will be, not someday, not when you die, Martha. No, today, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one who brings out life and life abundant, life forever. And so he invites Martha to believe in him, not to believe in this idea, but to believe in him. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's not a rhetorical question. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to a relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who's conquered sin and death so that you can conquer sin and death. And she says to him, the greatest statement in the scripture, it's mentioned twice. She says it once, and Peter says it in the book of Matthew. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, the Son of God, which was that phrase, Son of God, is equality with God, that you are God. Do you believe? What a profound confession. The greatest proclamation in all the scripture. Yes, Lord, I believe. Because Jesus isn't just teaching her some theological concept in the midst of her heartache and struggle, in the midst of her sorrow and pain that her brother died. No, he's inviting her into a personal experience with him. And that's what he does for all of us. That in the midst of our pain, our frustration, our sorrow, our joy, our happiness, our victories, at every turn of our life, he's inviting us into a personal experience to experience the resurrection and the life. And that's what he offers us. Because that's the most important question. That's the most important question that you and I have to answer in life is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? That word believe is an important word even in our culture. I just typed in the word believe and songs. Believe and songs. And the first thing that popped up, 100 of the best songs with believe in the title. And one of my favorites is a song called I'm a Believer. Now, some of you know that song because it was sung by a green ogre in a movie called Shrek, right? Some of you know that. It was performed by Smash Mouth, the band, the Smash Mouth. But the original song was performed by anybody? The Monkees, yes. I can tell there's a little older crowd here today. The Monkees, it went to number one. Ironically, the Monkees didn't write that song. The famous, infamous Neil Diamond wrote that song. So some of you know that name, some of you don't. It's okay that you don't. But Neil Diamond wrote that song, the Monkees sang it, and then Smash Mouth redid it for the Shrek movies, and that's how it became popular once again. But I'm a Believer. What a great title. The lyrics don't matter much. It's the title that matters. The title that matters. Because that's the calling for every person. Do you believe? And the answer that Jesus is looking for is, yes, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe that Jesus, you are Lord, that Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. I believe. That's the greatest declaration you and I can make, is I believe in you, Jesus. And so wherever you are today, whether you walked in here with a happy facade, but the inside is crumbling, and you're frustrated, angry, depressed, hurt, sorrowful, lonely, anxious, any of those things, or you've just had the best week of your life, Jesus is asking a simple question, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? And if you are here today and you are frustrated, angry, hurt, sorrowful, are you leaning in to Jesus in the midst of that heartache and struggle? Are you just holding it all to yourself and you're going to figure it out and you're going to make it happen and you're just going to gut it through? Are you honest with the one who can bring hope and encouragement to you? Are you living, if you do say, yes, I'm a believer, are you living with the confidence of a resurrected life? And dads, particularly, are you leading your family to live with that same kind of confidence in the hope of Jesus? That's the question for today. Not just, am I a believer? Not just, do I believe? But do I embrace all that means, that in the moments of sorrow and hurt and frustration, I believe and I live still with confidence that whatever my Savior asks, it will come true? Do I believe in those moments where everything else seems to have been abandoned and yet I can trust in Him? I can believe in Him. And I'm going to lead those around me by example that I believe. My prayer is that you would say, yes, Lord, I believe. Will you pray with me?